Welcome to Career Tools. This week, getting back on track, our first chapter, don't miss a deadline. Here we go. Okay, Wendy, we all get off track sometimes. We have a week where nothing goes right, programs crash, services aren't available, you have an unexpected absence from the office, or you have to fill in for somebody, or suddenly on a special project, and now, even though what you were doing made sense last week, you're behind in your deadlines. You're overwhelmed with tasks this week, now. And we've seen this happen a lot. People get frustrated, which, of course, makes it worse. So how do we recommend people turn that situation around rather than going into a spiral?
These situations tend to snowball. One thing goes wrong, and then and then next, and then all of a sudden you've got like 20 deadlines that you're behind on, and it's frightening, and you don't know what to do. So
I have found historically, then working with managers and executives on situations like this, they seem surprised because everything they're doing makes sense, right? I got to do this because of that, and I got to do this because of that, and yet still you end up in a situation where you're behind the power curve. And more junior people say to me, well, I don't understand. I did all the things that made sense and I'm off track. And I said, well, that happens from time to time because sometimes the urgent takes the place of the important. But I also think a big part of this is underappreciation for goal setting, for clear priorities. There are only one, two, three things you can do, and you have to learn to say no. And I think people say, yes, I'm doing X, and X makes sense. But the question of whether or not X makes sense or whether X has value is the wrong question, because virtually everything you're going to be asked to do at work makes sense and has value. The question is relative value. And without a clear understanding of what your goals are, what your objectives are, what your priorities are, right?
Yeah.
If you're not sure where you're going, any road makes sense. And I think that's hard work.
We're also able very easily to justify doing the things we want to do and that we like to do, and saying this makes sense when it's not necessarily what we should be doing.
Well, yeah, email is a classic example. I believe one of the biggest productivity killers has been email, because email is about efficiency rather than effectiveness. And people come back to their desk and they log into mail immediately when they come back from the meeting because they don't like the feeling of there being emails that they haven't gotten to. They fear an untamed inbox. And so they're constantly doing mail. But that fear is not what you're paid to abate. You're paid to deliver productivity on your primary responsibilities. And email is never listed as a primary responsibility. Yes, you have an email culture at your company. Yes, we've heard that before, but there are ways around that. Okay, enough. Too much introduction talk. I usually don't do that. So what's our guidance?
Okay, so we're going to review the entire workload on Sunday night. We're going to estimate the time needed for each task. We're going to add the tasks to our calendar. We're going to plan the first one, two actions. We're going to work our plan during the week. And then if we need to, lather, rinse, repeat.
We're going to do it again the following week.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. So we've talked about this before in some of our personal productivity casts about reviewing your workload Sunday night. In other words, having a plan for the week.
Yeah. And when we get off track, it's often because there's a lot of stuff in our head and maybe some stuff written down in a notebook and maybe some on a piece of paper and some stuff in your email that you need to do. And it all starts to, you know, every time you look at one, you're reminded of another and then you're all over the place.
Yeah. And when you're thinking about all the things you have to do, you're not accomplishing any of them.
No. No, you're not. And they tend to be a mixture of things as well. You can have like buy light bulbs and finish, you know, major marketing project. And they're both in your head as if they were had the same importance, which isn't helpful either. So the clean sweep terminology is from David Allen's Getting Things Done book.
Let's not pass by David Allen too quickly. David Allen is a guru to us. We love his systems. If you've never heard us talk about David Allen and getting things done, what we often refer to as GTD, we highly recommend you try it. The profusion of inboxes that have occurred in the last 20 or 30 years mean that you are going to feel overwhelmed quite frequently. Guys, if you feel overwhelmed, you're normal. It's not like everybody else is not overwhelmed and you're the only one that's underprepared. And one of the ways, every single time I do a clean sweep with David Allen's guidance, I assume it's like for other people going to the spa, which doesn't appeal to me, or cleaning the house, you know, the spring cleaning, or that feeling you get of when winter is over and you open up the house and you get some fresh breezes and you scrub from top to bottom and you put away everything, or you put away everything after Christmas. That feeling of clarity, especially mental clarity. I know what I'm supposed to do. It's clear to me. And I have a list, even though I'm not really a list guy, and I'm going to work through it. Absolutely fabulous. If you haven't read Getting Things Done, it's a book. We're recording this in early 2015. The book comes out, I think, sometime in 2015 on Kindle. It's been only in paperback and hardback for years. So if you want to wait, that's fine. But it's one of our books that we, I think I gave it 5 stars on the website.
Yeah. And there's a ton of stuff on the website, on the internet about how to implement it, different methodologies of, because it's a very flexible system. Yeah. People do use it in different ways. And so there's tons of stuff and diagrams and all sorts of stuff.
Let me say something else. I'm married. Wendy isn't. Please, no marriage proposals to Wendy that cause her to move or be less productive, guys. But look, if you're married, don't sit down at your home desk Sunday night without having talked to your spouse. If you have a busy week, Thursday or Friday, and you realize, I got to get back on track by next week. I can't do another one of these. I've been off track, whatever. Go to your spouse and say, honey, look, you know I had a bad week. I'm going to need an hour and a half or 2 hours Sunday night, 8 to 10 or 9 to 11 after the kids go to bed, if you don't mind. And the shows we would normally watch, maybe we could watch them Monday night. Or if I could just have a couple of hours, quiet time, I'll sit at my desk. I just need to consolidate all the stuff and come up with a plan for next week. Don't just sit down and start doing it, or don't think about it all weekend and be unpresent. Be present and then say, I'm going to do that Sunday night. I'm going to be with my family during the weekend. And then on Sunday night, I'm going to do it. Or if you're single and you want to do this on the weekend when you have some time, great. But don't take all weekend to do it. Schedule 2 hours on Saturday morning from 8 to 10 and get it done by 10 o'clock. Rather than doing it for a little while and then walking away and then feel guilty for the next 2 hours while you work out and then feel guilty some more when you go to the market or you hang out with friends or whatever, schedule some time in your head. Ask your significant other for that significant time, for that time to be left untethered, and then make it happen. And if Sunday night's not possible, you can do it Sunday morning or Saturday night for that matter.
Yeah.
Folks with social schedules like mine, Saturday night's free.
And mine, so, yeah. You know. So in this 2 hours that we have on Saturday night, because we have nothing else to do, we're going to brainstorm all of the deliverables we have.
The stuff we're overdue on from last week, the stuff that's coming up this week. And it's maybe not exactly brainstorm, but we're going to dig through all of our projects, all of our normal work requirements, all of our reports and everything else.
Yep, all those sticky notes you've got, all those notes, all the things that are in your head, all the things that are on your calendar.
Things in the email.
Exactly.
Right.
And then have a really long list. And it doesn't matter how long the list is, because you just want everything out of your head and right on a piece of paper. That's the piece that makes you feel clear.
For your Harry Potter fans, this is a pensive moment.
It is. And once you have a clear list of what you need to do, what we're recommending that you do is organize the list in order of the deadlines for this week. So the things that you have to do this week that have a deadline, a hard deadline for this week. And if you did this on paper, you don't have to rearrange the list. You can just, you know, check mark them off or highlight them or something. This doesn't have to be pretty. So if you've got something on your list that says you have to have a certain report done by 5 o'clock on Wednesday, then next to it on the list, right, Wednesday, 5 o'clock. And the temptation is, like we've talked about this before in other things, is to decide what's important and keep, oh, this must be important and this. It's like, you know, when you're trying to get rid of clutter in your house, you suddenly find this attachment to things that are completely not useful. So just keep in mind that the things with deadlines, the things that are important, are not necessarily everything, right? You shouldn't end up with 25, 30 things when your list is only 35 things. It should be 5 out of 35.
Right.
So the things that are really only essential.
Yeah. And by the way, if you're an individual contributor and you're required to make 40 calls on Monday, Okay, that's a deliverable. That's a responsibility, and you need to figure out how that gets done. In other words, don't not list the core part of your job if the core part of your job is processing forms or making phone calls or receiving phone calls or whatever. Okay, include those things. Sometimes those things don't get written down. They don't get talked about. We only focus on projects or things that we're trying to fit in. But include your core responsibilities, particularly for those of you who are individual contributors. Okay?
Absolutely. And if there's something that would be nice to have, but nobody will notice it, if it's a couple of days late, then do it a couple of days late. If in this situation, we're talking about not a crisis, but we're on the way, you know, the slippery slope to a crisis. You're already late with deadlines. You're already overwhelmed with tasks. And so getting rid of a few things or making a few things late so that you can hit the really important ones is okay. This isn't an do this every week and like let things slip or don't go to meetings every week. This is a getting back on track, which implies that you're off track.
Good. Now, one of the things we recommend that everybody does each week is have lunch with a colleague, somebody else, somebody outside and part of building your network. That's something that doesn't have a deadline associated with it. And you could slip that a week and it wouldn't kill you.
Yeah.
You could even miss one rather than doing two the following week. If you have a 2-week process you're going to go through, it's okay to miss one and maybe miss two. And then maybe you do three the following week, or maybe you only do one the next couple of weeks and you say, well, I missed one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
So the next thing to do is estimate the time needed for each task. So you've separated the urgent from the important. You're talking about just these things that need to be done this week. So you then estimate the time you need for each task and then reduce it by 25%. So if you say it's going to take me 2 hours, write down an hour and a half, because work expands to fill the time available. And so if you say it's going to take 2 hours, it'll take 2 hours.
Right.
And if you say I've got an hour and a half, then you'll get it done in an hour and a half. And Pareto's principle says that 80% of the results are achieved in 20% of the time.
Yep.
So you're going to get the majority of the quality of what you were going to do in the 2 hours in an hour and a half.
Yeah, Parkinson's law is related to, actually it comes from, I'm sure Wendy knows, this is the British civil service, and work expands to fill the time allotted. And it's a bleak kind of statement, which says, if you don't give work any time, it takes up a bunch of time. Something can be done in 50 minutes. Well, Horstmann's corollary to that is work contracts to fill the time you give it. And folks, everything I've seen in my entire, 25 years of coaching and managing and training executives and managers and individual contributors is everything you do could be done in 2/3 of the time it takes you to do it. And you've had times where you had to do it, where you absolutely had to do it, and you put something together and nobody seemed to miss. Nobody seemed to notice that what you usually spend 3 hours preparing got prepared in half an hour that week because you forgot or because you had a personal crisis or a professional crisis or whatever. And nobody minds. And people spend way too much time on all kinds of things and get sloppy about it. Or assume that because you're good at it, you can do it in bits and pieces and you end up spending a couple hours in bits and pieces when in fact, had you done it all at once, you could have done it in an hour or in 45 minutes. And periodically, probably once a quarter, I try to write a cast in an hour. And I'm able to do it every time. And I'm actually now, over the last 7 years, I've reduced the amount of time it takes me to deliver, to write the average show notes. For those of you who are licensees, you, of course, have access to all the show notes. If you're not a licensee, you ought to consider becoming one for $200 on an annual license. If for no other reason that you don't have to listen to Wendy and I, you can simply read the cast in much less time. And, of course, then you won't have to go back and listen to the cast again. You can simply read it when you need a key point from it.
Very efficient use of time.
Yeah, you can contract everything you do, other than perhaps meetings. And now I say meetings and I realize, ooh, no, the average person is running meetings terribly inefficiently. But you could absolutely contract the number of time. 25% is frankly not as unachievable as you might imagine.
It's absolutely not aggressive. And if you're struggling with that concept, one of the things to think about is the day before you go on vacation. It's amazing how much stuff we get done on the day before we go on vacation and how much stuff we decide to delete or give to somebody else or just not to do because we don't have time. And so the day before, we have 8 hours and we've got to get all the essentials done. And that's essentially what you're doing now.
Okay. Then we're going to add the task to our calendar, right?
Yeah. So a list with deadlines is not really enough to plan your week, because you need to look at the deadlines over time and the time that you have available. And in a week where you're trying to get a lot done, then you need to be really focused on your calendar, because you're trying to resolve everything within that, within the space of time. And the way we look at time is on our calendars. So you start fitting tasks into your calendar. And I find the things that need most thinking are easier in the morning.
Most people do. There are people who say, oh, I'm an evening person and so on. The fact is, folks, for the vast majority of you, your brain power is best in early morning light, in early morning time. Your ability to make decisions at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, even if you're a night person, which is much more rare than people say it. Usually that just means a person who likes to socialize. And by the way, I'm not giving you a hard time. We understand that people disagree with us, but that's what the science says anyway. Way better to do your thinking stuff, your more complex stuff, in the morning.
Yeah. So when you're planning your calendar, think about, okay, this is the best time. The first 2 hours of the day are completely precious, and don't waste them on email or calls or something that you can do later that doesn't take as much thinking. If you've got real planning or really hard tasks to do, difficult tasks, then do them in the morning. And then what you don't want to do is completely fill your calendar for the week thinking, I've got all these deadlines, I'm going to get them all done, and so I'm going to leave no gaps.
Right. You got to leave some gaps.
Yeah. Well, for a start, you know, you still need to look at your email. There still might be something urgent. You still probably need to return calls. Your boss will probably want some time.
Yeah. It's interesting. You're talking right to the crowd, and I would actually say that differently. I would say you don't need to look at your email, but you need to schedule those breaks nonetheless, because we know you're going to look at email, and we simply want you to only look at email during those breaks rather than when you're actually working. In fact, if you're really smart, you'll have followed our email guidance and you'll only be looking at email 3 times a day. And if you're even smarter, you'll have set up your email client, say Outlook, on your desktop to only ping the server when it's up, and when it's not up, just shut Outlook down. Mm-hmm. Now some of you would say, well, my calendar is an Outlook. Okay, fine. Well, set up your email to ping the server, your email client Outlook, to only ping the server when you tell it to manually, and that way it looks as if you have no mail.
Or print your calendar.
And exactly, and set your Outlook up so that mail disappears and the only thing that's visible on your calendar, on your desktop, is your calendar. You can do that. Or show your calendar on your phone. Okay. And turn off the toasts in the bottom right hand corner of your thing saying you have a new mail, and turn that off on your phone. You can do all these things to focus. And yes, you're going to get interrupted. And this is the time this week where you can say to people, I'm sorry, I really can't. I'm swamped this week. Mm-hmm. And don't say I'm swamped. You'll get in the habit of saying I'm swamped all the time. And you're not swamped all the time. This week is a special week. We're trying to get back on track. Hey, I'm really swamped this week. Can we talk about this later?
Or I'm working to a deadline, which is if you tell yourself, if you tell yourself and other people that you're swamped all the time, your brain will start to believe it. Whereas if you tell it, I'm working to a deadline, it says, awesome, I'll work harder.
Yeah.
So when you're planning your week and you're putting all the tasks onto your calendar and you come across a meeting, you know, you film Monday morning and you get to Monday afternoon and you're about to put a task there and, oh, there's a meeting there. Ask yourself, does this really have to happen this week? Is it as important as the other things that are on my deadline list? If I were on vacation, would it be okay if I skipped it? If the answer is yes, yeah, then skip it.
Good. If I were on vacation, yeah. Another way to think about it is not can I skip it, but how much trouble will I be in if I skip it versus how much trouble will I be in if I start missing deadlines again this week?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's a question of where you're going to take your pain, folks. And what too many of us have done has acted as if, oh, I'm good at avoiding pain, but you're constantly in a low level state of anxiety and pain because you're constantly behind on things.
Yeah. If you're not needed, or you can send somebody else, or you can send a report instead, then take that meeting off your calendar and use it for the priorities that you've already decided that you have.
Okay, now we've got to plan the first couple of actions.
Yeah, so for each of the things that you have on your list, or each of the tasks, then start by, on Sunday night still, and you might want to write this in the calendar appointment, the first couple of subtasks for that task, because it's really hard to be at the beginning of a project or the beginning of a task and be looking at a blank email or a blank piece of paper. There's a run-up, there's a startup time. And if you've already done it, when you get to that point on your calendar and it says, do this task and the first action is this, then you'll start much more quickly and you won't waste as much time. So, you know, if you're going to start a report, then you might find the first task might be find a Word template for this kind of report, or call Bill and get him to send me the data. Create an outline, draw a data flow diagram, you know, any of those first tasks, so that when you get to that point, you can hit the ground running, as it were. And one thing, if you get really bogged down in procrastination, then you can write open Excel as your first task, you know, open the program, but you probably don't need to do that. Now, hopefully you're not procrastinating that much this week, but... And what you don't want to do is plan the entire thing on Sunday night. You just need enough to get you started, because once you're started, the momentum will take you through, so you'll waste the planning. And secondly, most of us can't plan an entire task unless it's something we've done a lot before, but most people can't plan the entire thing and don't need to plan the entire thing. They just need to get started.
Okay.
So the next thing is to... Once you've got to this point and you've got everything on your calendar, you know what the first action is for each of the tasks that you've put on your calendar. It's now Sunday night, you can go to bed. And then Monday morning, you work the plan. So when you get into work on Monday, you get your coffee and you start on whatever task it says on your calendar that you were going to do. Don't let yourself be distracted by email or some other conversation or, you know, something, you know, your boss walks up to you and says, can you do this? Yes, I can, but I'm working to a deadline on this first.
Right.
And if you can work from home or work from a different location or a conference room, somewhere where people can't find you, on those weeks when you're trying to clear the decks and hit all those deadlines, being somewhere where people can't find you is quite helpful.
Yeah, I find it interesting that the diversity of people. A lot of people say, I really like working from home. And so I work from home 3 or 4 days a week. I'm like, wow. And now I dial into meetings. Yeah. We generally don't recommend that. We understand that work is becoming more virtual, much to the chagrin of most companies. It saves money, but it reduces productivity enormously. That said as well, there are times where some singular time, alone time, if you will, is good. And this is one of those times. That said, don't walk into the office and say, well, if I could only have this week at home, I'd be caught up because I have a bunch of individual work. And of course, for some of you, your work requires talking to other people a lot. And so that being at home wouldn't help. But you can get this all done at work. The interruptions you regret at work can be eliminated. You can simply stop interrupting yourself. And by that, I mean, when someone else interrupts you, you allow it. And yes, there are times when your boss says, I know you're going to say no, but I'm going to talk to you. But your peers, you could say, I'm really sorry, I can't. They wouldn't do it if you were in a meeting. Surely this takes the precedence, or it at least rises the kind of getting back on track to meet your requirements for accepting your pay, being productive at the level you're expected to be, should be justified at the level of going to a meeting, which most people agree are crap anyway.
Mm-hmm. When I used to work in a team when we worked open plan, and so we were in groups of four with the low dividers between us, because those people were close to me and we worked together every day, it was easy for me to say, hey, I'm having a week where I have to hit everything. I'm going to concentrate, you know, excuse me that I'm not going to join in any of the conversations this week, but I really need to concentrate on getting some stuff done. And then people wouldn't interrupt me. So the people around you, you can easily have that conversation Monday morning and people probably won't interrupt you. In fact, in my case, they would bring me coffee on a regular basis without me asking. So it can work to your advantage.
Exactly.
And we talked about this, closing your email account, turning your phone onto silent, turn it over so you can't see the screen. If you think people will worry if they don't get an email response from you or a phone response from you instantly, then leave a message or an autoresponder that says, I'm in meetings most of the day. I'll respond to your email as soon as I can. And that's not a lie because you're in meetings with yourself.
Yeah.
And then all you do is follow the plan. And this is my favorite bit. Keep score, because if you cross off those projects, if you print out your calendar and you can, you know, cross them off or big black marker or a gold star or post it to your Facebook status, whatever you want to do to celebrate having got that one done, that will give you the encouragement and the momentum to keep going.
Yeah, and recognize that at the end of the day, there'll be some stuff you missed, and that may require some adjustments, right?
Yeah, the plan will not survive past 9:15 on Monday morning, but you can get most of it done.
Everybody has a plan until they get hit.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. And then, obviously, you said lather, rinse, repeat, one of my favorite phrases, right? When it works, keep doing it.
Yep. Exactly. So you're just going to keep working through your plan Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And each time you get to cross off a task, you have a little break, little celebration, and then you get on to the next one. Don't allow yourself too much time in between tasks because you'll lose momentum and you'll lose the concentration. Yeah. And don't worry about people commenting. You know, if people say, hey, I haven't seen you much this week. So, yeah, I'm working hard. I got deadlines, concentrating, whatever.
And by the way, this feeling, not so much off track, but this feeling of being busy and being able to say no is essentially living the life of making priorities real and saying, not just, yeah, I know my three priorities are here, and then I end up getting down in the details, but rather I'm going to live this week as if my priorities really matter. This is why you can't get on executive calendars. Executives don't say no to you because they're superior and they can. They say no to you because the half hour you want with them doesn't rise to the level of justifying time spent on that relative to the value they would get out of that half hour spent on their priorities as they understood them, reaching out to new clients or improving processes or reducing costs or whatever it might be. Executives get a bad rap for being arrogant when in fact they're not being arrogant at all. They're simply living their priorities because they know if you have 1,000 things to do in a week, you better get 200 of them done day one.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually more than that, because you're going to have curveballs Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And too many people misunderstand that. And this is simply you saying, I need to be a little bit militant, a little bit tough, a little bit willing to ruffle some feathers in order to get this stuff done when I'm off track. And some of you will discover once you get back on track, you're going to like the feeling of having done 80 things in a week when you normally only get 50 or 60 done. And you're going to adopt this on a more regular basis. People say to me all the time, I'd love to talk to you. I can't get to talk to you. I said, you know, I've got these things to do. You tell me whether or not I should be doing that. I mean, if I'm doing everything, then everything's important and therefore nothing's important.
Mm-hmm. And so hopefully by the end of the week, you've cleared everything that had a deadline of this week that was always late, and you're back on track and you can go out on Friday night and have dinner and celebrate and chill out. And if you haven't cleared anything, everything, or you've still got things late and you've got more deadlines for next week, then just do it all over again. Start again on Sunday. And I think you're right. I think you'd enjoy the first week so much of having all of those things crossed off and the peace of mind and the feeling of clarity and organization, that actually a second week or a third week wouldn't feel so bad. It wouldn't feel exactly like, oh, I got to do this again. It would feel like, yay, I get to do this again.
And now you're on a new S curve.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is part of productivity's, it's the siren call of productivity, getting on a new S curve. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Shall I review?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to review your workload Sunday night, estimate the time needed for each task, add the task to your calendar, plan the first one or two actions, work the plan, and then lather, rinse, repeat.
Good. Okay. I agree. I think this is one of those things that people could easily get addicted to. And being overwhelmed isn't fun, but take some time away from the office, make a plan, then work steadily toward it. Avoid some of the time wasters and some of the distractions. and get back on track, and then discover you may like this new way of getting a lot of stuff done by being focused.
Absolutely.
Good. All right. Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
That's it, folks. The first chapter of several about how to get back on track when you got sidetracked. It happens to all of us. See you next week.